the InnerText Community Talk this afternoon. Our topic, it's about second chances for fashion and fabrics. And maybe we jump directly into the topic because we only have 30 minutes and there's a lot to say. I have three guests. Give a warm welcome to Max Reinhardt from Samt Berlin. And Magdalena Ninius from the Finnish startup, Magdalena Wolf from the Finnish startup Ninius, and Marc Villalong from Sloppy Tunas from Barcelona. Thank you. And I'm Miriam Sment. I'm the founder of Green Style Munich, what's a community and communication platform for sustainable fashion brands and for people who should buy sustainable fashion because it's a better choice. Maybe we start directly with you, because there are so many different ways to give fashion and fabrics a second chance. And maybe you take us a little bit on the journey from Samt Berlin and from the topic of dead stock. What is dead stock and why did you decide to work with dead stock, Max?
Hi, everybody. Well, dead stock is basically overproduce of any kind of material, so it's valid for as well for fabrics as for accessories, for leathers, and it's basically material that was not used off. So it's a very limited availability, and that is dead stock. So to say, it's still new material, but it's not something that has been produced for our brand, but for somebody else. And so we started using dead stock actually right from the beginning, kind of, or like 1 year in. So we are on the market since 2017, 2018, really, when we opened up to B2B. So we worked like 1 year hidden, so to say. And it was not a choice that was done. Oh, what's the most sustainable material choice? It came very natural because we initially we only had styles. So we come from accessory background, and now we're doing also fashion, so apparel, what I'm wearing, for instance, or knit. And we wanted to do a style that was very soft. But had to be tear resistant at the same time, and that is super hard to achieve with a natural vegetable tanned leather. And we were more like into geometric forms that we still in, like this basically, which has a different kind of prerequisite for the material. So we went into mineral tanned leather that was soft, and then we basically came across the dead stock or the overproduction, which I discovered working with my mom, who's in the bags business for 20 years. This is kind of how we discovered it, and that was it was a revelation.
Yeah, because also it's your idea why you work with it, but dead stock is a really sustainable material because waste is not waste until you waste it.
Exactly. For us, it was, I mean, like, and that was the thing, because when we wanted to have the soft material, it was kind of no question that, because we have, like, the ethos or as a pattern of roots that we set ourselves was, if there's a material that is produced for us, it needs to be the most sustainable material choice. So that means for fabrics, it needs to be organic cotton, it needs to be tencel, lycocel. For leather, it needs to be vegetable tanned leather. But then, if a style and an idea that we have does not allow us to have it, then of course we are looking for something that has already been done. But then of course on top we handpick and only choose material that is made in Europe, that has been fabricated and produced in a socially and ecologically correct way, because also the leathers that we source are then being done in Tuscany, and there's the sewage water system is basically dimensioned for it, you know, so it's not like going into the earth or anything like this. So it's still, it needs to meet certain parameters that we set, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for taking us on your journey with dead stock, but we dive deeper a little bit later. Yeah. And switch over to you, Magdalena, because with Ninjas, you don't produce yourself, but you give second chances as well. Like, maybe you can take us with you.
Yeah, so we help sustainable or responsible fashion brands to resell their secondhand products. So we have a software solution that can be integrated to the web store, and like the brand can communicate with their consumers and tell them to, if they have products of them and they don't wear them anymore, they can give it back to the brand or sell it back to the brand. And we are behind that and helping the brand to resell their secondhand products. So we do the communication with the consumer, we do the logistics, the quality insurance, and we're gonna put it, we take the pictures and the description and put it back online. So the brand has like a white label solution and can resell their secondhand products. But it is no effort for the brand because we do everything, because we know brands have like so many different projects and priorities, like different priorities, but we want to help them earn from their secondhand products, because we think like there's enough products on this planet for the next 6 to 8 generations, and we should use those products.
We talked before, and then you said circular economy has never been more important than today. We need to work with the resources we already have. Maybe you can give us some more figures on this topic, why it's so important to give second chances in all these different shades.
Well, we all know, first of all, the economy is complicated at the moment, and all the brands can use their second-hand products and resell them and give them a second, a third, a fourth life, because we know if you produce in a good, sustainable way with quality as well, you can resell the products. And like circularity is absolutely up and coming, like all the brands or a lot of brands are doing it. And like in Berlin, 60% of sales are actually secondhand nowadays. And Vinted is growing, is now the biggest retailer in France. And there is so much we can do to just use the products we already have.
Yeah, coming to you, Mark, the Sloppy Tuners. You have your own way to work with resources. You made waste a new material. You have no background in fashion at all, but you started like it was 2017 or 18 with your brand in Barcelona. Maybe you give us an idea of the material and how it you decided to do exactly this. And it was not easy to find somebody who supported you in producing this material, right?
Exactly. So, first of all, thank you for having us here. I think it's a pleasure to be here at Inatex. So, back when we started Sloppy Tunas in 2018, we had this idea, and me not coming from a fashion background or my partner, we loved being in the ocean, we loved being in the sea, and what we really wanted to do is to find a way to collect all this plastic that's already out there and turn it into something that we would use in our day-to-day or when we would go out to the beach. So the way our story worked is that, you know, we figured, okay, let's try to produce bathing suits, but back in 2018, recycled fabrics weren't so common as they are right now. And we started to go to many different factories around Barcelona, where we're from, which there's a lot of textile over there. And we were very surprised because most of them were telling us, no, this is impossible. You're not going to be able to find this here. Maybe you need to go overseas to China and to all these places. And we just kept insisting. I think we visited around 20 factories in total till we found this one that was just starting to do the whole recycling process. And we just spoke to them. They were sourcing the plastic from different fishermen communities around the Mediterranean. And with them, we developed a thread that was made from that specific recycled plastic. And they already had some clients in which they were sharing and selling the thread to, which they would then make fabric to produce all sorts of products. And you know, we pulled from the thread literally, and we ended up in this other factory in Portugal, which were willing to put their thread in their machines, create some fabrics with us, and that's where we started to develop the Sloppy Tunas fabrics that we have nowadays, which is 100% made from recycled plastic, and it's very smooth, very soft, dries very quick, so ideal for a bathing suit. And that was our way in which, without coming from a fashion background, just trying to find ways to maybe do something, some things that were done differently. We were able to start producing our bathing suits. And now we're at a point in which, you know, we've already been in business for some years. Luckily, we have clients all over Europe and in the United States and in different countries. And we are starting to introduce what we like to call the circular, the whole circular package, in which whenever a user doesn't want the bathing suit anymore, for whatever reason, maybe they've grown out of it because it's a kid, or maybe they've used it for like 4 or 5 years and it's already like, you know, some holes here and there from the usage. And what we want to do is we're now doing a reverse system in which we're getting all these bathing suits that are already in circulation. They can send it back to us and we will put it back in the circle. So this way, this plastic that was once in the ocean or was once polluting nature, it's never ending in that specific place anymore. So we always try to circular, close the circle by offering this whole package to our customers.
That's great. Can you give me an idea of how much kind of plastic bottles do you need for producing a bathing suit, maybe in my size or for Max? Shorts. Yeah, no bedding for you.
So on average, we use in between 7 and 10 plastic bottles. That's the average. So if you're like, we also have sizes for little kids. So like a 2 to 4 year old, maybe they use 3 to 4 plastic bottles. Or if you are the lucky one that is wears a triple XL, then you wear a couple gallon plastic plastic bottles. So that's usually the average that we use to make a specific bathing suit.
And do you have an idea of how many plastic you already used in the years from you started the Sloppy Tunas?
Yeah, so we've done this rough calculation, and it's growing because of course now we're in the middle of the summer season. But we estimate that we've recycled already more than 20,000 plastic bottles, and most likely we will reach the 30,000 mark by the end of this year. So it's something that it's moving really fast. And even now, you know, we're getting to the scale in which we're closing this circle. We're also looking at ways and how can we recycle this plastic again. And we also need a lot of quantity. So we always encourage our customers, you know, when you don't want it anymore, either give it to somebody like your brother or whoever, like hand down economy, or, you know, send it back to us and we'll give it a second life, you know.
Let's go back to dead stock for a moment. When you buy fabrics or textiles, you go to Fabric Start or Première Vision. Is this the same, or how where do you source your dead stock?
We source everything from Italy. So we kind of, I mean, we also made the decision that we have the whole production in Europe and we try to cluster, so to have everything more like in a proximate place, basically. And that's why we chose Italy also, I mean, in terms of background, because my family was working for a long time in the bag industry in Italy. And so I kind of grew into it to know the places where I can source it. So I do have, it's really a very, for me, I mean, that's also kind of what drives me. I mean, we are a small brand and we do have small quantities, and it's more about an individual style. And so then I favor also the personal interaction with the person and get to know the people who are doing the business, basically. And so this is kind of, it's a bit, it's research, basically. Yeah.
And is there a difference between working with dead stock or, it's new material, but it's not waste. You know what I mean? Dead stock or endless material?
Yes. I mean, for us being a small brand, it allows us to have like a a variation, like a color variation and a material depth that we otherwise could not achieve because we have quantities that are not so big. So the minimum order quantity, so to say, would not allow us to have all these kind of materials. So that is super nice. And then I do, because I, like, professionally, I coming from an architectural background, and I do really like also to be inspired by the things I find. So, you know, it's a kind of, it goes both ways. So you have ideas what you want to do, but then also sometimes the idea comes from the fabric that you touch. And I do, and then on top, which is nice, because we're doing, like, at the one hand, we're doing very minimal and timeless clothing and bags that kind of cater to really, like, ageless, but also genderless and really occasionless, because you can style it up and style it down. But then on the other hand, which is kind of the majority of the collection, but then on the other hand, the overproduce, the dead stock allows us also to have, like, sprinkles of super extrovert, crazy fashion items, which is nice. Because, I mean, like, we're doing this because we would like to do it, and I don't want to be put into the own cage that I built, so to say. And me as a designer, or us as a design team, we don't want to always just follow the path that we have laid out, but allow us also to be diverse also in terms of design. So for us, it's really it's lovely.
So you work with deadstock coming to your leather goods, to your fashion collection, and even the yarn for your made on demand.
Exactly.
Knitwear collection.
Yeah, also, like, because we have also, like, a knit manufacture in-house in our atelier and shop in Berlin. So what I'm wearing right there, and this is also just overproduced yarns that are always from Italy and are only natural fibers. And a lot is, which is true also for the leathers and the fabrics, really high fashion and super nice quality. And yeah, and that's, I mean, so these are unique pieces and are made to measure anyhow. So it's not endless. And that's the beauty. People walk in, we choose the yarns, we choose the fabrics, and it lifts up everything else because we have the story of manufacture and it's not a mass product. And then also we can offer pieces that have a high fashion quality, but not the price tag to it. And of course, mm-hmm. it's also cool for the people that they are only one of maybe 20 or 50, or sometimes only the only one wearing that, which is really nice. And kind of also is our idea of fashion, that it's not about overconsumption, but it's conscious, slow, you know? But then on the other, well, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to your store like 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
So never miss out to visit Max in his store in Berlin, Holskistraße. And Magdalena, when it comes to your service, I think it's amazing, but so many people say, oh, sorry, I don't have time for this re-commerce thing. Maybe you can take us a little bit on the onboarding process that we get an idea of what are you doing, what I have to do as a brand, maybe not that much as I think, and because you try to make it maximum convenient for everybody.
Yeah. So we really know all the brands, they have like so many projects and so much to do. So we trying to do as much as we can. And we actually just need for the brand, from the brand, like in the beginning, just a logo, just maybe the story. We can even like copy paste everything from the website. So like all the writing stuff we get from the website, we just need like maybe 20 to 50 samples, because when we set up the store, it should be full of stuff and not empty. So we just need the products, and we can work with samples or B stock or customer returns as well. Like when you can't sell them anymore because they have scratches or little flaws or something. And then we do the integration of the software, and we also already have like all the texts. Maybe someone has to proofread it, or we just do it. We even have like templates for social media, for a newsletter or anything. So we do the integration, and then we do the quality check of the brand, of the products. We take pictures. We do the description. We do the upload, and then if everything is ready, we just start with the shop. And consumers can buy new products and secondhand products in the same shopping cart. And we have a white label solution. That means when someone orders, we just pack it in the branding of the brand and then ship it to the customer directly. So it is, we really do all the work and the brands will earn from that, as well as the customer and, of course, we as well. And the customer gets a voucher for the stuff they resell to the brand right away, so they don't have to wait. And they don't have to do like what they have to do on Vinted, like the communication, like
taking
pictures and description and everything. We know it's the hassle, but that's what we want to take from the consumer and from the brand as well.
So it looks like it works for everybody, or is you said something about a limited amount of pieces you should have, that it's...
Well, we also have, like, we're working in Germany also with, like, local brands, like, really small brands, and they are just sending in, like, 10 pieces or something. We just want, when we start with them, the shop should be filled, like, the second or pre-loved shop should be filled, so a few pieces should be in there. And then the brand communicates to the consumers, like, if you have products from us, you can, like, sell it back to us. You don't have the hassle to sell them. You get a voucher right away. So you already, you have a new story to communicate to your consumer. You can bring them back in your ecosystem. And they will, with the voucher, they will buy something new. And normally they put, like, 50% of the amount of the voucher on top of it. So you already have them in the ecosystem, and they will buy new stuff.
Sounds easy.
Yep. Yeah, it is easy.
Mark, are there differences in different ways of producing your yarn, your material? Where can I get the best, or what's the criteria? Are there some certifications like the EVN here for organic textiles?
So... there's different types of certifications. So you have the basic recycling standard certifications, the ISOs, etc., just for the recycled plastic and the fabric. But what we also work with is we work with this foundation called Sequal, and it's a specific foundation that is also near Barcelona that build a network of suppliers of plastic, let's say, by all these fishermen, by giving them solutions and facilities for them to... give them all the plastic once they've gone out fishing. So we work with them, and they help us with the whole certification and the whole traceability process of this plastic that is collected in the ocean. And then once that lands in the factory near Girona, near Barcelona, where we are, that's where the whole process is collected, converted from the plastic to the thread. And then, you know, in our case, we have a fabric manufacturer in Portugal where we already developed this specific fabric and it's very good quality. But of course, from that point, that thread can go to many different uses. For example, this partner that we work with, Sequal, they also certify the textiles that go on cars, you know, and some upholstery that's for the cars is also made from recycled plastic from the ocean. So at the end of the day, we utilize it for our bathing suits, but the reality is that it can be used for many different properties, many different things. For us, I think the most important part is that when we were developing the fabric together with our partner in Portugal, us not coming from the fashion industry per se, we always thought, okay, we need to do something different, something unique. And we were able to create a fabric that is very good quality, but we didn't want to stop there. And that's where... we also try to raise awareness and push sustainability through the designs that we have, you know, so go a little bit further. So this is why maybe some of our collections are, we call them evergreen, so they're timeless. We don't bring out new collections every year. And each of the designs has a special meaning. So it's either a specific plastic that is very harmful or an animal that suffers a lot from plastic pollution. And the main objective of this is, of course, we want to use recycled plastic. We want to remove all this plastic from the ocean. But we want to turn it into something that will really empower more people to then use less plastic, recycle more when they wear it. And surprisingly enough, you get a lot of customers that, you know, maybe they purchase it and they tell their friend and they tell them the story. And then suddenly you see them, they send you a picture of them at the beach, you know, collecting some plastic. And it could have been something that maybe they wouldn't have done if you hadn't engaged with them or empowered them to be a little bit more sustainable. And for us, you know, going to the initial point of, we want to produce a fabric that is, of course, recycled. But at the end of the day, we want to use that as a catalyst to also empower a lot more people to be more sustainable in their day to day.
And as you said before, you're trying to close the loop in your own business. You said you take back the products from your customers, but you do even more. You didn't say it.
Excuse me?
You're working with your production. You are trying to work zero waste, right?
Exactly. And so this is something that we started to do now that we're introducing the recycling program. Of course, we can take old bathing suits, which are done in a way in which they're very easy to recycle. So we have no Velcros, no zippers, no metals. We don't blend different types of materials in the fabric. So it's just one material. So it makes it very easy to recycle. But then what we're also doing with our manufacturing partners, we're challenging them to, of course, cut as efficiently as possible, which I think this is something that most brands do because you don't want to waste. And, awesome. And also you waste fabric, yeah. But you also waste money in a way. And we tell them, we've been telling them for the last couple of years. Initially, they thought, you guys are crazy. We're like, we want you to save all the leftover fabrics that you have when you cut our bathing suits. And initially they're like, but that's going to be a lot. You know, it's going to be a lot of boxes. What are you going to do with this? And we're like, don't worry. We're figuring this out. And so now we're not just collecting the plastic, the bathing suits that our customers have, but we're also using all this leftover fabric and bringing it over to our fabric near Barcelona to put this all together and to recycle all that into new fabric that can then be used for bathing suits again or maybe other products that we develop in the future.
So it's not only a second, it's a third and fourth and fifth chance.
This is amazing, yeah.
So time is running. We are coming kind of to an end. Maybe there are some questions from the audience. No, but you can meet these amazing game changers here on the fair. Max and Mark are part of the design discoveries downstairs. You can go there, touch the soft recycled things, the architectonical bags and super soft denim qualities. And Magdalena is around here.
Yeah, till tomorrow.
Do you have some words you want to give to the audience?
Some words?
Yeah, sentences, as you like.
Yeah, come by, definitely. We have something for everybody. And I'm happy to go even more into detail what we do and what we can do maybe together. And it would be a pleasure, of course.
Well, when you're planning to go into re-commerce and need a partner, just let me know. We can help you with that.
Great. I mean, and I would just end up by saying that, you know, you don't need to buy my products. You don't need to buy our brand. I think if it's something that suits with the type of store or the type of customers that you have, of course, we're more than happy to speak with you. I think sustainability and sustainable fashion is about finding the right fit and really selling products that have a meaning and are really worthwhile. So, super happy to be here and to chat to anybody else to give a little bit more detail on the process and what we do and how we make it.
Yeah. So I say thank you for being here, being the guest, and sharing your insights and your businesses, and have a good time here on Innertex. Thank you to the audience for listening, and
thank you.
Yeah, keep on doing what we're doing.
Yeah.